Finishing up chapter 4 this morning. So we're moving one-fourth of the way through the book. It's pretty good progress. Next week, actually, Denny Pruto is going to be preaching for us. Now, I'll still be here, but Denny Pruto is going to bring the word for us next week. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Listen to God's eternal word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God bless the reading of his eternal word.
Some of the most defining moments in our lives are moments of crisis.
As you go through hard times, through storms in your life, through difficult relationships, through tragedies, through loneliness, as you wrestle with the meaning of life, as you go through these hard situations, you're often forced to really examine what you believe and where you stand. I had a close friend back in school who grew up in the church. He grew up in a Christian home. But life didn't go exactly the way he wanted it to go. He had lots of challenges in life and he grew to resent God. Life didn't go the way he wanted, so he walked away from the church, he walked away from his family, and he walked away from God himself. He resented God for the things that he'd gone through. So in that moment of crisis, he didn't trust in God, but instead turned his back on him. On the other hand, I have another very dear friend who's had a difficult life. She was essentially abandoned by her family. And after she was abandoned, she spiraled out of control. She was in and out of bad relationships. She was abused and taken advantage of. She got into alcohol and really hit rock bottom. And there, torn up from these storms that she's had to go through, she came to realize that her only hope and fulfillment could be found in Christ. Through this moment of crisis, instead of turning her back on God, God grabbed hold of her life. And she learned what it meant to really trust in God. These storms brought her mercifully to the knees of her Savior. Moments of crisis can either drive you away from God, they can make you angry or resentful, or they can make you realize that you're in God's hands all along and you can trust in Him when every storm comes along. How do you respond to the moments of crisis in your own life? When things don't go the way you want, when you go through moments of crisis, do you tend to get angry? Do you get resentful? You get angry at the world and angry at God? Do you shake your fist at God and ask Him, "Why me? Why are you sending me through this? Do you even care?" Or do the storms of life drive you all the more to cling tightly to your Savior? Do they make you trust in Him all the more? Jesus, who loved you to the point of shedding His blood on the cross, rose again, and He reigns over all creation. He controls what happens in your life and everything that you face, whether it's good or bad, whether it's hard or easy, whether it brings you enjoyment or heartache. It's all inspired by His eternal and endless love. Do you believe in His endless love? Do you trust in His love? When you go through those moments of crisis, will you turn away from Him and resent Him and shake your fist at Him? Or will you quietly trust in His love, knowing that He is in control even through the storms that come through your life? Because Christ is Lord, quietly trust Him through the storms that you go through. We're still relatively early in Jesus' ministry. At this point, he's done most of his ministry, just about all of his ministry in Galilee. And the bulk of his ministry has been on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is really, it's a lake. It's not what we consider a sea. It's a lake just about 70-some miles north of Jerusalem. And there's a port city on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee named Capernaum. And Jesus seems to have adopted that city as his sort of center for ministry, his home base for ministry. And at the beginning of chapter 4, we find that Jesus is once again on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, probably just outside of Capernaum. And once again, we find people flocking to him. Jesus is popular. He's quickly surrounded by a large crowd. And as people continue to gather around him, he ministers to these people and he teaches them. Well, the crowd continues to grow, and they press in on him. And they press in on him so much, in fact, that he has to get into a boat and go a few yards offshore and sit in the boat and teach the people from there. Well, if you know anything about ministering to needy people, or if you know what it's like to work with people all day long, you'll know that it's wearing. It's emotionally and physically wearing on you. It's exhausting. And Jesus and his disciples have spent the entire day ministering to this crowd of people, this needy crowd. And actually, this is just one of many days that Jesus and his disciples spent this way. The life of Christ is really marked by ministry, being with people, loving people, teaching people. Jesus and his disciples seem to be constantly in the mix with the crowd, being with the people and ministering to them, spending themselves on behalf of the people. Well, this full day was probably part of a full week, which was then probably part of a full month of ministry. And at the end of the day, they're wiped out. Well, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." Now, he's not doing this simply to get away from the crowd and get some rest, but he wants to extend his mission. He spent most of his time in Galilee, but there's more people who need to be reached. So they get in a boat. Now, Jesus' disciples are, some of them were fishermen. They're very familiar with the lake. They're experienced sailors. Well, on the Sea of Galilee, there were some notoriously, the weather on the Sea of Galilee was notoriously unpredictable. In a moment, the weather on the lake could change from being calm and serene to stormy and impossible to navigate. And most of those storms actually happened during the daytime, during the afternoon. And so fishing was generally done in the early mornings or in the late afternoons and evening hours when the lake was generally more predictable and tranquil. But when the storm does strike at night, it's all the more dangerous and deadly. Well, it's evening when Jesus and his disciples get into the boats as they head across the lake. As they set sail, Jesus, exhausted from his day of ministering to people, he goes into the back of the boat. He settles down and he falls fast asleep. Well, as they move out into the middle of the lake, the winds begin to pick up and the waves start to grow and a storm quickly starts to gain power. And the wind and the waves beat against the boat. And the waves grow so fierce, in fact, that the boat begins to take on water. And the disciples find themselves in the middle of a full-blown squall out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night, a dangerous situation. These experienced boatsmen, they know the severity of the situation. They know the power of the storm, the power of the weather on this lake. They know that their lives really hang in the balance. And they grow frantic. They grow frantic in the midst of this chaos. And as they frantically work, trying to keep the boat afloat, trying to navigate through this storm, Jesus is still in the back of the boat, asleep, resting peacefully. Even though the boat is being jostled and thrown by the power of the storm, even in the midst of the commotion and chaos of the disciples, Jesus continues to sleep, seemingly oblivious to the severity of the situation. Well, as the storm continues to intensify, the disciples figure they need to get Jesus' attention. They need to wake him up. So they crawl to the back of the boat. They shake him awake. And with panic in their voice, they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" Can't you see that our lives hang in the balance and you're here sleeping? Don't you care about us? Well, Jesus got up from his sleep, and in the midst of that furious squall, where a voice could hardly be heard over all the wind and the waves, he yelled out to the wind and the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" And at the sound of these words, the wind died down, and the waves, the water, became calm. And he turned to his disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, the disciples could hardly believe what just happened. They'd been with Jesus for quite a while now. They've seen his power. They've seen his power over sickness and over demon possession. But they have never seen anything like this. They've never heard of anything like this before. They've been following this man for months, probably since Jesus called them. They've been with him almost every day. And yet they turn to each other and they say, "Who is this man? The wind and the waves have just listened to him and obeyed him. I've never heard anything like this. Who is this man that we've been following?" It's sometimes glaringly obvious how little the disciples knew about Jesus. They'd been with him, but did they know who he was? Even being with him day after day, listening to him speak, they just got done listening to him all day as he spoke to them in parables and explained the parables to them. But they still can't quite grasp who Jesus actually is and what Jesus came to do. Throughout his life, Jesus slowly reveals himself to his disciples. He never comes out very directly and explains exactly who he is and what he came to do and why he's doing it. Instead, by the things that he does and the things that he says, they begin to slowly realize and put this puzzle together, and they begin to come to the conclusion that Jesus is no ordinary man. They've never seen anyone with the power to command the forces of nature. And Jesus, simply by his voice, through the power of his word, he commanded the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him like a well-trained dog eager to serve his master. This miracle of the calming of the storm is one of the most defining moments that give the disciples insight as to actually into exactly who Jesus is. This is no mere man. This man's voice has power to control the elements of nature. Well, throughout Scripture, the voice of God is very significant. The voice of God has power. And the way that Jesus has power in his voice is reminiscent of the way the voice of God, the power that the voice of God had in creation, when God created the heavens and the earth. When God spoke, the heavens and the earth came into existence. When he spoke, the sky separated itself from the earth. When he spoke, birds began to fly and plants were instantly rooted in the ground. The voice of God has power. It says in Psalm 29, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord makes the mountains tremble. The voice of the Lord makes the earth shake." When God commands, they obey. Well, the voice of this man, Jesus, has the same power as the voice of God that created. And the disciples asked themselves, "Who is this man who has this power?" Well, he's none other than the Lord himself, the one in complete control of his entire creation. Jesus is the Lord. Well, after Jesus calmed the storm, he turned to his disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" While the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was still asleep and the storm was raging on all around them, they were afraid. They were terrified for their lives. They thought this might be the end. They're going to die. They're going to be swept off the boat into this storm. And Jesus is in the back of the boat, oblivious to all of it, oblivious to the danger that they're in. Doesn't he even care that we're about to die? Isn't he aware that the waves are crashing over us and they're going to sweep us into the sea? Why doesn't he do anything about this? I'm sure you've thought about this. I think about this a lot. Why does it feel that sometimes when the storm rages in our lives, why does it feel that God is indifferent? Why does it feel like He doesn't care what's going on? Why does it feel like God is asleep while the storm rages on around us, when things are not going well at all? In the middle of tragedy and difficulty and heartache, do you ever feel like God is nowhere to be found? Does it feel like you're on your own through it all? Does it feel like your prayers fall to the ground, like you're talking to a wall instead of talking to the Almighty God? It often feels that way when we cry, and when we cry out, we call to Him, God, don't you notice? Don't you see what's going on here? The waves are crashing all over me. Don't you care that I'm about to drown? My life is draining away, and it feels like you don't even care. I'm wrestling with my soul. Where are you? Is God indifferent? Is God asleep, peacefully resting in the back of the boat while the storm ravages your life? When your marriage is hard and you pray and pray and pray, does it ever feel like you're talking to a wall and nothing changes? Or if you're going through financial difficulties or wrestling with God over a child who's gone astray, or you're having a difficult time with someone, having conflict with someone and it's tearing you apart, or your body isn't working the way you want it to, God, why don't you change these things? Don't you care that this storm rages around me? I'm your child and I'm in need, but oftentimes it feels like you treat me worse than you treat the wicked. The wicked seem to prosper and I can barely keep my head above water. Their business is successful and ours is struggling. They seem to have no worries, but my head is flooded with concerns and worries and anxieties. Have I wasted my time in following you? Why aren't you coming? God has the power to take away every burden that you bear. He has the power to transform every relationship. He has the power to give you exactly what you want. He has the power to heal. He has the power to take away disease. He has the power to restore life. Why doesn't He? Why doesn't He act in the midst of these storms? Is He indifferent to what you're going through? As a storm rages around us, where is God? Although it may appear that God is indifferent as the storms rage on around us, that rage around in your lives, the reality of the matter is that He cares for you far beyond what you can even imagine. Jesus, after He calms the storm, He says to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? After all the miracles that you've watched, after all that I've taught you, do you still not trust me? Do you still doubt my love for you after all that you've seen?" The disciples had experienced the love of Christ in a way that very few had. They were the ones who had been closest to Christ. They had seen His heart as He cared for people, as He healed people. He gave them hope. They had experienced His love firsthand. But in the midst of the storm, that all drained out of their minds. They forgot all about it. They were so overwhelmed by their circumstances, they forgot about all the things that Jesus did to demonstrate His love for them. As the storm raged, they began to wonder, does He even care what is happening to us? Why is He sleeping while our lives hang in the balance? In the middle of the storm, because we're so focused on the wind and the waves that we forget about God's love. We begin to doubt God's love. It's easy for us to do this in our lives. Many times storms rage around us, and as they rage, they distract us. They consume so much of our focus that we begin to question God's love for us. In the middle of the storm, we quickly forget all the things that God has done to assure us and demonstrate His love for us. We forget all the things that He's both done and said to assure us of His love. Have you forgotten how God has demonstrated beyond question that He loves you? Long, long ago, long before anything that you see here existed, long before the Beaver River flowed through the Beaver Valley, long before the hills here, the rolling hills, were ever created, long before all that, God wrote your name in a book, designating you as one of His precious children. He's designated you to be one of the multitude who's been saved from His sin and who will one day share completely in His glory. He loved you before the foundations of the earth. Then in time, God our Father, in order to redeem us from our sin, He sent His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, to become a man. And Jesus submitted to this plan. He humbled Himself. He placed Himself under the law. He endured the sinful and broken world. He suffered an excruciating death. And God, His own Father, turned His back on Him because He bore the weight of our sins. And then after Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit to be with us and to live in us. He poured out His Holy Spirit to fill us up so that we could live a brand new life. These acts of God prove beyond doubt that He loves you and that He has spared no expense to redeem you. Don't get so distracted by the storm that you forget about these things. Don't get so distracted by the storm that you forget that He loves you. That He has demonstrated His love for you beyond doubt is something you can rest assured of. You can be more sure of His love than anything that you can see. But God has not only demonstrated His love for us by what He has done for us, but He also assures us of His love by what He says to us, by what He promises us. As the waves crash over your heads, remember that what God said to Jacob, He also says to you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Or remember that He says to us, just as He said to Joshua when he was going into the land of Canaan, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. Or when God spoke to His people through Isaiah, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Or in Psalm 21, He who watches over you never slumbers or sleeps. Or in Psalm 73, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you take me to glory. Or what Jesus said after, just before He ascended into heaven, He said, I am always with you even to the end of the age. And there are so many more examples. This is just a small handful of them. The Bible is full of these promises. God repeats Himself and repeats Himself and repeats Himself to assure you of His love. He assures you that He cares for you, that He's with you. God loves you as His own child, and He cannot act contrary to that love. He will only do what's best for you. Everything that you face is inspired by God's eternal love. It's inspired by His endless love. In the midst of that storm, be confident of His love. Don't doubt it. It may appear that God is indifferent to the struggles that you face. It may appear that He doesn't care. You may be tempted to doubt His love, but in reality, He is right by your side, right next to you. You may feel alone, but in reality, He is in that boat with you, upholding you as that storm rages on around you. He knows what's going on. And He doesn't gain pleasure by bringing these storms into your life. But He knows that as you go through these storms, you will learn to trust in Him. And that is what we need to learn. To trust in Him. Even when nothing else makes sense, trust in His love. You rest in the palm of His hands and you can rest assured that He will never let you go. You can stake your life on this. In the middle of the storm, things may not make sense to you, but one day, One day when you stand in the presence of God, you're going to see why your life worked out exactly the way it's going right now. And at that point, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to see very clearly God's loving hand in the midst of all of it, even in the hardest times. And you're going to see that because of His love, you had to go through these storms. And you're also going to see very clearly that as you struggled your way through these tough situations that you're going through right now, you're going to see that God was with you all along. It didn't feel like it when you were going through it. It didn't feel like He was close to you, but in fact, He was there, loving you as He always has. You're going to trust in God. You're going to see God's love in a very real way. So are you going to trust in God in the middle of these storms? Are you going to doubt His love when you can't feel it? Or will you stake your life on His promise that He is always with you? As the storm rages on around you, will you quietly trust in Him? When the disciples witnessed Jesus calming the storm, they came to realize that this was no mere man. But in fact, He is the Lord of all. And no matter how bad the storm is, your lives rest safely in His hands. That gives us great hope. There's a movie about the Civil War called Gods and Generals. And one of the generals was a devout follower of God. And when he was in the midst of battle, he carried himself confidently and without fear. In the midst of battle, he was steadfast and calm and collected. He wasn't anxious as the bullets flew past his head. And the soldiers and his brigade saw that he carried himself differently. And one of his captains came to him and asked, "General, how is it that you can keep so serene and so utterly insensible with a storm of shells and bullets raining about your head?" And the general replied, "Captain Smith, my religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself with that, but to be always ready whenever it may overtake me. This is the way all men should live. Then all men would be equally brave." Whether he was in battle or whether he was in bed, this general knew that his life rested safely in the hands of God. And while the storm of battle raged on around him, he was confident in God's constant care and protection. He would not mistakenly die. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God controlled every bullet, and he was confident of God's unending, limitless love. Do you live your life with this kind of confidence? Do you trust in God while the storm rages on around you? Can you rest in peace every night, knowing that every battle that you face is in His hands? Do you doubt His love and His care? God calls you and me to have quiet trust. That no matter what we face, we quietly trust in God, knowing that everything happens to us is because of His love, and that nothing will happen to us except what He lovingly allows. Because Christ is Lord, quietly trust in Him in the hardest and most hopeless situations that you face. You are in His hands, and He will do what's good. This is our great hope. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your eternal love. We thank You for the love that You've shown to us time and again throughout history, and the love that You've promised to us time and again throughout Your Word. We do confess that we are weak in faith, that we oftentimes do doubt because of what we see. Father, when those times of doubt, when we doubt Your love, please remind us of what You have done. Remind us of what You have said, and remind us of who You are, the Lord of all. And let us rest peacefully in Your hands. Give us that quiet trust to rest in You. Please do this for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.